is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Stryker
and Dr. Drew.
Loveline, coast to coast.
Yeah! It is Loveline. It is me again, Stryker, along with Dr. Drew, the addiction medicine specialist.
Welcome.
Well, thank you. I was thinking Adam literally is a millionaire.
Literally.
So he's able to go to the Bahamas.
Oh, no, I think that's some sort of man show wrap-up party.
But wasn't he involved in paying for something to get there? Because when I was listening, he was talking to your wife about traveling.
No, that was England. He's just going to England to go to a car show.
Who cares?
Point is, he can go where the F he pleases. He's literally a millionaire.
My vacation, literally not a millionaire, San Diego.
Nice.
Palm Springs, Vegas, Lake Tahoe.
Good times.
It is. Lake Tahoe tomorrow for me. Going wakeboarding.
You could bring your little wiener dog to Bahamas.
No, I can't. Sorry. But I'm bringing the wiener dog to Lake Tahoe, and I bought him doggles today. Doggles are goggles for dogs.
You are scaring me.
Thank you.
You're gay.
No, I am not. Just because I have a hot dog. A guest in here.
Wearing designer eyewear.
Yes, because I take him on the Sea-Doo with me, and the wind is very strong on the little wiener dog.
God, what happens if he falls off?
I got him a Fido floater.
Oh, my God. You are high.
Speaking of hot dogs.
Issa Morales?
Issa.
How you doing, man?
I'm good.
He's our guest tonight.
Thank you.
He has been on TV and in movies for as long as I can remember.
How old are you?
The problem is Issa is 22, so...
No. I'm 28, and the first thing I saw you in was Bad Boys with Sean Penn and Ally Sheedy.
You were about 8 years old.
Something like that. My parents like, why are you watching this thing? And then, I mean, it's on cable all the time.
Yeah.
It's a great movie.
Well, it kept a lot of kids out of jail, I'll tell you that much.
Was that a fun movie to make, and was that your first movie that you did?
Big one, you know.
Because you're like one of the main three or four people in the film.
Yeah, I'm the bad boy. Sean Penn's the good bad boy. I play the bad boy.
Right. I think you took care of Ally Sheedy in a very bad sort of way.
Yeah. You know how many letters I got from that? And they weren't all nasty, and that's the harsh part. It's kind of scary out there, Dr. Drew.
Well, we're well aware of that.
And since then, without even looking at the bio, just from knowing you, of course, you were in La Bamba.
Yeah.
You played the brother of Richie Valens, who was played by Lou Diamond Phillips.
Right, and everybody says, say Richie!
And you rode the coolest motorcycle ever.
Wasn't
that
a badass? That was actually a motorcycle in drag. I have to be honest. I have to come out here.
Right. Now, what do you mean in drag? It was like
drag doesn't mean it was gay.
Well, no, that's right.
Yeah.
I have to, you know, come out with this information.
I see. Just be real. Yeah.
That it was a 68 Sportster dressed up like a 48 Indian.
Got it.
You know what I'm saying? Because the real 48 Indian had suicide clutch. And that, you know, I just learned how to ride for that movie. So imagine, I would have been true to its name had I ridden that one.
Right. And now we are in 2002. You're on NYPD Blue.
That's right.
You're on like 96 other TV shows at the same time. What other shows are you on right now besides NYPD Blue?
Well, there's American Family on PBS.
Okay.
I play a firefighter on that. A father as well. Because on Resurrection Boulevard, which is on Showtime, I play a father, ex-boxer. Ex-con kind of situation. And I actually play the father on Dora the Explorer. I play the voice of the father.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very good.
On a few of those, actually. So
cool.
It's actually 4 gigs at the moment. But,
dude, that's awesome, man.
But the reality is I'm just focusing on NYPD Blue now. Today was my first day.
Oh, sure. It was? Really?
Wow, interesting.
I came right from the studio.
Nice.
You still have the makeup on? I'm looking.
Technically, yes. But, you know, it kind of rubs off during the day.
Right. Okay.
I like it much.
Where's it filming?
At Fox. And so funny, we cheat New York, you know? I mean, most people, you're not shooting in New York? I don't know. We go there for about a week.
Well, they curve the streets also to make them look like, so you know it's not a set or something like that,
right? What?
Like, you can explain it better than me, they do it.
They you know, dummy up the street, you know, Mulberry Street. They use the sidewalk. They age things out, the curbs.
Right.
All the details are very very New York.
Interesting. Yeah,
so the man we are talking to once again, Issa Morales. And I say your first name, correct?
Isai.
Oh, Isai.
Yes.
Isai Morales.
Yes.
All right, I got it.
I can't get mad, though. I've heard everything.
I'm sure you have.
Yeah, oh, boy.
As have I. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number for Loveline. And Carrie, what's up? You're 28.
Yes, I just wanted to know, how can I get my boyfriend to talk about his fantasies so that I can act them out?
What if they're not like yours?
Well, it's okay if they're not exactly like mine, but, you know,
what if they're what if they're nothing to do with yours? What if you're either freaked out and offended by them or sort of understimulated by them?
Honestly, I don't think that I would be freaked out by them.
So you can, you're up for anything?
Yes.
What if he says, how old's your boyfriend?
He's 28.
What if he says, all right, you know the golden retriever we have? I want to bring him in the room. I want to bring a vat of peanut butter in the room. And I want you both to go to town at the same time. That's my fantasy.
Well, I don't think that he would bring a golden retriever in the room because he doesn't like dogs. But if I could help him out in any way.
My dog for a week. I'm going out of town.
Carrie, the point I was trying to make is, why do you have to, if you will, go back door on this? Why can't you just come right out and tell him what your fantasies are?
Well, I have told him what my fantasies were.
Because I think that's what you're getting at here, is you want to kind of slide on over to your stuff by gratifying his.
And what are they?
Yeah, what are your fantasies, Carrie?
Well, I mean, I would like to watch him with somebody else.
With another dude or girl?
Well, girl.
Oh, my God.
Go ahead, Issa. Tell
her. I just, you know, it's just so rare to find people that, you know, kind of like, you know, the same things.
Carrie, we found your match. It's Issa.
I'm taking. I'm happily taking. No,
most guys would be up for that kind of thing in a second.
Right.
No pun intended.
Unfortunately, the reality is, and what most men aren't sort of thinking about, is that this is going to sabotage the hell out of your relationship. You are looking to blow this thing up for some reason.
Well,
why do you need to explode this relationship?
I don't actually want to see him do that, you know, but...
Well, wait a minute, what's...
It's a fantasy, she said.
It's just a fantasy that I have, you know, to see him with somebody else. I personally don't think that I could handle that. And if he wants to, you know, if he fantasizes about it, it's okay. You know, it's just a fantasy.
So you want him to verbalize some things kind of to get a little bit spiced up in the room,
exactly.
I take it.
Exactly.
I'll tell you one thing. The truth is one of the hottest sex...
Well, I've already gone there, and I don't really want to do that again.
What does that mean?
I mean, I've already had, you know, I've already been in a relationship where I had my boyfriend and somebody else there, and...
Yes.
And I don't really want to go there.
Carrie, what is up with you? What is up with you?
I was suffering from post-traumatic stress.
From what?
I was raped when I was 4 and then raped again when I was 16.
Right.
Let's
reinterpret that. 4 years aren't rape, they're abuse. It's sexual abuse at 4, and then that sets you up to be a victim later, and that's when you were raped is later.
Yes.
And that sexual abuse fractures your character development. It makes it very difficult for you to have stable interpersonal relationships. You always have to bring high levels of arousal in, and you also have to bring chaos and sabotage. Why don't you cool off on that instinct a little bit and go for boring for a while? Because in boring, you'll find something a little more nourishing.
Boring equals single.
I feel that we have a very nourishing relationship, and that is why...
That's why you have to sabotage it and bring it to a close.
Oh, is that what I'm doing?
That's what you're doing.
Oh, well, that's no good.
That's no good. There you go. So just think about that and go ahead and enjoy yourselves, you know, talk about fantasies,
we're having sex maybe once a month.
I know, but you because of your abuse and stuff, you need this high level of arousal, and it may be freaking him out a little bit. He may be, you know, not able to hang in with some of this heavy emotional material.
But only sex once a month, I think.
It's not good.
That's...
And bringing in chaos and, you know, a lot of fantasies probably not going to do that with him. Something else is up with him. And interestingly, with men, if their sex drive is really down, the first thing to do is get them a medical evaluation. More often than not, they're on some medication or taking an herb. They're not aware of it, or there's something going on.
Or nutritional deficiency.
Nutritional, so something. Something going on physically.
I take these vitamins. Oh, look at
them. I know, but Drew, I listen to Carrie talk, and what's wrong with the boyfriend?
That he doesn't want the
yes!
She hasn't told him yet. No, she hasn't told him yet. See, her question was, how do I get his fantasy out so I can slide on over and tell him about mine?
Yeah, but, you know, it's this funny thing about the fantasy thing. You know, it's something to imagine the titillation of actually seeing something that you know in real life. You'd be like, get out, you know? It's interesting, but I think you're right that it underlies something else. Usually our desires are, you know, masquerading. They're really
symptoms. They're symptoms
of something else that we want. But how long have you guys been together?
Actually, Carrie's gone.
Oh, she's gone.
But you're bringing up an interesting point. Is that there's an intermediate zone there, which is sort of the world of acting and drama, mm-hmm. which you don't have to bring another person in. You don't have to bring the golden retriever in. You can kind of pretend and create the arousal and the story and the role playing. No harm, no foul.
As soon as you bring someone in, I mean, that's an obvious thing that it's going to get screwed up.
You have a third party that's able to testify at some other point. Be careful.
But if you take two 20-year-olds and one of them wants to bring a third in, at 20, no problem. 22, you're fine.
Yeah, they're not
it's
trying to...
experiment.
Yeah, they're just, exactly. They don't expect to get married.
Speaking of which, Paul?
Oh, yeah, hi.
Hi, you're 16 on Loveline. What's up?
Oh, yeah. I have, like, no signs of puberty, and I'm 16.
You have what?
No signs of puberty.
How tall are you?
I'm like 5'7", 5'8".
Pretty tall.
That is tall.
How tall is your family? Are they real tall?
Oh, no, my dad's about 5'10".
Okay. And no, have your genitalia started to grow?
Well, I have like a little bit of hair, but that's about it.
A little bit of hair down there. How about under your arm?
Nope, none.
Are you a...
junior.
I understand. Are you an ethnicity that doesn't tend to have hair?
Huh?
Are you an ethnicity that doesn't tend to have a lot of hair?
Like Native American or Asian?
Oh, no. No. My family tends to be pretty hairy.
You definitely have a high-pitched voice.
You got the voice. Well, 16 is not terribly abnormal. Some guys, 17, 18, is when they finally get that pubertal onset. And, in fact, in some studies I've read, the late onset of puberty is associated with longevity.
Yep.
Living a long time.
Then I'm going to be just fine because I didn't – when I graduated high school,
yep.
I was barely pushing 5'10". Wow. Now I'm like 6'1 and a half.
Well, the later you get the pubertal growth spurt, right. Usually the taller you end up.
I went to high school with Wesley Snipes, and he was about 5'2 for the longest time. He was tiny.
Wow.
And then you see him now, he's got to be 6 feet or so.
Where'd you guys grow up? In Brooklyn?
New York, yeah. Performing Arts High School, the fame school.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
So, yeah, Wesley was a classic late bloomer. So I wouldn't worry too much. Although, what kind of nutrition do you eat?
I'm vegan. I do not eat any dairy.
Hey, Paul, that could be affecting you if you're not really careful with how you manage all that. You should consult with someone about this.
Because what you could be doing by being vegan, I mean, I identify and I like the concept, but the problem is that you miss out on certain nutrients and co-nutrients, co-factors, that you might not get just by being vegan. You've got to be a full, complete. You've got to get the full color of the rainbow.
Now I'm no expert in this regard, so I don't know. I've never seen this happen, so I don't know if it does happen. But I imagine you eat a lot of soy, right?
Yeah.
Soy is very high in estrogen, phytoestrogens.
Yep.
And that might be giving you a lot of female hormones.
And blocking the male ones from growing.
And at least counteracting some of the male stuff. Yeah. And so this is a serious issue, and it can affect your growth, your bone development. I would seriously consult a dietitian.
Paul, your parents are vegan?
Yeah.
You got to
intergenerational.
Consult a dietitian, Paul, really, seriously.
Oh, well, my doctor says that my bones are strong.
That's good. Consult a dietitian. You're telling us you have a medical issue here, your puberty. You want to get it checked out. I think a diet is a great place to start looking.
Because if you don't go through the puberty and you do get lucky and hook up with the girl and she's down there and you're still like... 1 inch with no hair, she's going to be like, what's going on here?
Yeah, depends on the girl. I'll tell you one other thing.
It's high school, though. That'll spread like wildfire.
I think, and it's a weird, is a totally weird theory of mine, but if you eat a lot of cereal, which I did a lot, the BHA and the BHT in the cereal, they're preservatives, mm-hmm. and I'm thinking maybe they retard the kind of, you know, the growth process even in people. Who knows? I don't know.
Wow. I love cereal, by the way. I'm doing fine.
Look, he's a mess. He's a mess.
Yeah, I am a mess.
Look 40, at Stryker. Right?
40, yes. I am 41 years old. And Susan is 17.
Ooh.
Susan?
Yes.
What's up?
Susan. Hi. Yes, I have a question. Hello?
Go ahead.
Are you taking some of the... Never mind. Go ahead.
What?
Eating too much soy.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. I've been in a relationship for 3 months, and I just started to become sexually active. But when he goes down on me, I haven't been able to come.
Have you ever had an orgasm?
Yeah.
How?
Masturbation.
Probably. Masturbation, but not during intercourse and not during oral sex.
Pardon?
Not during intercourse or oral sex.
I've had one during intercourse, but I haven't come yet.
What are you making? Orgasm, climax, come, all exactly the same thing.
Okay, well then I haven't had an orgasm in intercourse then.
Okay, but you had an orgasm during masturbation.
Uh-huh.
Well, number one, you're 17, and you're probably a little bit uncomfortable, I think, with, I mean,
or
until
unfamiliar.
You get old.
Yeah. Or unfamiliar. I mean.
Until you can really let yourself go with a partner, I don't think you're going to be able to do it with a partner until you let yourself go mentally. Right? I mean,
under the age of 22, it's rather uncommon, really uncommon for women to have an orgasm during intercourse, and it's not particularly common to have orgasm at all during sex. A significant percentage don't at all, oral sex or otherwise. But most of them, if they are going to have an orgasm, is during oral sex. And about the only way you can really, only two things you can do to increase your chances is to masturbate and figure out how things work. But for some women, that's not arousing. That doesn't give them an orgasm either.
Right.
Or communicate to your partner. Tell him what to do. Show him what you need.
Well, she's 17 and it's her first partner.
No, it's hard. She's got to settle in with him.
Yeah, how old is he?
19.
Oh, yeah, so he's breaking the law.
Yeah, no, but okay. I mean, the point being, though, is that you're both rather new at this. You know, so it's natural. It's about taking your time and being comfortable.
Remember, guy's not having any problem having an orgasm, mind you.
Well, I'm 28.
That's supposed to be the frustrating part for women.
Fine, yeah.
The guy's like...
No, but I'm saying... to help her reach it, it takes a lot more time.
It takes a lot more.
Yeah.
But that must be very frustrating for women, though. It's like,
well, the thing is, you know those pocket rocket things? That yeah. Hey... Oh my God! Put that away, please.
Well, that is another way you can help. That's part of the masturbation.
In other words,
pocket rocket.
Or during mm-hmm. intercourse, sometimes you know, digitally help yourself out there. Whatever it takes, just as long as you both care and love each other.
Just as long as the guy can have an orgasm, everything's fine.
Well, no, the guy, we take care. We could do it within minutes.
The wind could be blowing 2 miles an hour. And,
hey, I'm ready.
Yeah. So the fluids leave the building.
But the strange thing about women is that there's that version of woman out there too. There are women that can orgasm in a few seconds and have multiple orgasms.
Where?
I just thought that was me.
There's a small percentage. A small percentage. But those that do that tend not to like oral sex.
Who are you looking at? I think you just checked out some woman back there.
I'm just making sure. My gal ain't spying on me over there.
Got it. Oh, my God. Isai Morales is here, by the way. He's the other voice in Loveline. You can see him on NYPD Blue, 86 other TV shows at once. And Steve, 16, you are on the radio. What's up?
Hey, what's up?
Nothing, man.
Love you guys. Been listening a long time.
Cool.
All right. I don't know. I don't eat for like a week or a week and a half. Just eat candy, and then I'll just like eat pizza, and that's all I eat.
Don't you have a mom?
What?
What does your mom say about this?
I never really discuss. I live at home. I just, I'm always out with my friends. I've never been eating since I'm a kid.
You sound like you're about 29. You're 16.
Yeah, I'll be 17 in a month.
That's different.
Congratulations.
I smoke 2 packs a day.
You smoke?
Back from his second tour in Vietnam.
2 packs a day. So what's the question then?
I want to know just what's up. Like, what's the story? I have no idea. I'll be at a party, huge steaks, like everything, and I'll just eat a hot dog and, all right, forget it, I'm done. And when I eat pizza, I can eat it tons.
Yeah.
Can you pass that advice to my lady, please?
Have you ever had a broader palate? Have you ever been able to eat other things?
No, I mean, like, I could force myself to eat a steak, but it's not appetizing, but I
so
eat candy.
These things have
so
never,
candy.
All that stuff's never been appetizing to you?
No, never.
Do you take opiates? Do you take any pain pills or anything?
No, nothing.
But steak ain't necessarily the best thing in the world. Do you smoke herb?
Smoke pot recently only. Not
every day?
That would be mostly eating chips in your diet, then.
That's true. The doctor here could probably know more about it, but it sounds like, you're carbohydrate addicted.
My friend's going for barbecue. I'll buy like 4 taffies, 5 taffies, and I'll be full.
Anybody would be full.
I used to do that kind of stuff, but let me tell you something. You're hollowing yourself out from the inside, and I can tell you, you need certain nutrients, and the fact that you're young is why you can withstand it, because your body's levels of CoQ10 and all these other things are relatively high. But once those things drop, pizza ain't going to cut it anymore. Sugar's not going to do it anymore. You're going to need greens. You need oranges, yellows. There's a reason we have so many colors in the natural diet, and you need a representation of all those. So if you can, man, start by, like, drinking those healthy, green drinks, green machine type things, where you get things like spirulina, you get things that you don't get in junk food. You're getting empty calories, and dude, it's just a matter of time before you age a lot quicker than your peers.
Well, and you really are at risk of genuine medically relevant deficiencies in protein.
Even at 16?
My doctor, like, why I'm not getting fat if I eat so much candy, said eat 3 meals a day for a while, you're just going to blow up. So for like 6-7 months, I tried it. I forced myself to eat 3 meals a day. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, I'm skinny. I'm skinny as a pickle, and I'm very tall.
Do you play basketball?
Very rarely.
So you don't.
All right, well, but listen, it's not so much about weight here as about nutrition, and I'm just concerned.
It's the 2 packs a day, which is worse than the food, probably.
Well, absolutely, and I'm concerned about the fact that you have no supervision in your life, and there's no caretaking, and there's no one there teaching you and watching you. And kids don't automatically know how to eat. They go towards stuff that's gratifying.
No, even when I was like 8, my mom would be like, "Here, come, we have chicken for supper." I'd be like, "Nah, pizza."
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, but she let you get away with it. And
she used to force me to eat the chicken, but then like she just gave up.
She gave up.
Yeah,
you're 9 years old.
She won't be traumatic, you know.
And you need to do something about this. Anyway, we spent 10 minutes talking about this.
Yeah, I like how Steve.
Dude,
talks.
Go check out a nutritionist and help yourself before.
Eat some hamburgers if you're going to eat some junk. At least that has a little bit of protein in the beef, doesn't it?
I'm skinny as a pickle.
your metabolism's really high. That's what it is. Because you're eating all this junk, it has to burn it off.
Nutrition's so bad.
All right. Eastside Morales is here, taking your calls, 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Stryker in for Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. When we get back, we're going to talk to a kid who has phone sex all the time with a girl, but she will not go on a date with him. We'll get to the bottom of that in just a minute, big boy. I like how it feels coming up on Love Line. We are back on Love Line. Stryker in for Adam Carolla along with Dr. Drew. Isai Morales is here from NYPD Blue, a bunch of other shows. You've seen him on TV. Hey! Thank you. And movies since the mid-80s. This is your second full season on NYPD Blue.
That's right.
Then the year before your first full season, you did a half a season.
Right, like a third, 7 episodes, right.
What's it like working with Mark Paul Gosselaar, who is no longer Zach Morris?
Oh, dude, today I was in my trailer and I'm watching TV and there he is, dude. He's so different,
saved by the Bell.
Yeah, but he's so different on our show. He's such a grown-up, you know.
Oh, yeah, and he's a good actor.
He's a good actor. He's a good-looking cat. I mean, you know, last year he had to take off his pants and shut his butt, dude. Homie prepared, let me tell you.
Was he doing the butt squats for weeks before that?
He was boxing. Because he's got talent.
Right.
He was boxing, he was training, and you know, our big guy, Henry Simmons, was the Brown Adonis. I mean, this guy's built like, you know, Superman wishes he were built. Mm-hmm. And him and Henry were training, hitting the pads, and man, Mark got...
So are you saying Mark has a nice ass? Is that what's going on here, Isai?
Dude, if I didn't have a girlfriend, you know...
Then you'd date Zach Morris.
No, I was impressed.
We got to call like this.
Hold on, let me show you something.
I was impressed. No, I'm just saying, you know, I'm not gay, but hey, you know...
But you are skinny as a pickle.
Hey, leave pickles out of this, please.
Yes, we will. All right.
I'm skinny as a pickle.
Thank you. All right, let's talk to Smoke Up Johnny.
Paul's been coming on this show since he was about 16.
He's been on the show?
Many times.
He's a good cat. He's a good guy.
Years and years.
He loves BMX, doesn't he? He loves riding dirt bikes and stuff.
Oh, his brother's like a professional, and he came in like 12th. He just went racing. He came in like... amazingly high.
That was in the girls' division, though, wasn't it? No. He's good.
He's crazy. Yeah. He likes it. You know, he's a good guy.
I need to hang out with that kid. Johnny.
Yeah.
You get to have phone sex and you're only 14.
Yeah.
All right. With who? Where does she live? What the hell is going on?
She lives in the same state as me, but we go to the same school and everything, but she likes me, but she doesn't want to go out with me. I don't know why.
Now, are you a bad boy?
No, not really.
Do you have hair?
Yes.
Oh, cool. Up there?
Yes.
How old is she?
She's 14, too.
Maybe she doesn't want to date anybody.
Huh?
Maybe she doesn't want to date anybody.
Maybe she's not allowed to date.
Maybe she just, you know, kind of got the picture from sex talking.
That was enough.
It's cool, dude. Yeah.
Maybe you're getting a phone bill in about a month and a half that says you owe somebody $1,000 and your dad's going
to
kill you.
It's phone sex, right? But this is back again to that whole realm of fantasy. I mean, she's able to keep it in fantasy, and that's a healthier place for her. She doesn't want to bring it into reality with you.
Not yet.
Yeah. So something, you know, something about you that she's not the person she wants to be dating, even though she can have it carry on this fantasy.
But it's driving Johnny nuts, isn't it, man?
Yeah.
But I'll tell you one thing. You know what? Just be there. You know, be a friend. Be someone that you know she can open up to without, you know, freaking out about it, and just hang in there. And a lot of gals respect the fact that, you know, even though you're not getting it, if you can listen to them and actually communicate, then maybe you won't deserve it.
Yeah, at 14, I was watching Dodger games and Laker games. Poor Chick Hearn, by the way. Mm-hmm. But I don't even think I knew what phone sex was at 14, Isai.
I invented phone sex.
You did?
That was my answer to the whole AIDS situation. Well, let's talk about it.
At 14.
Oh, dude.
Come on.
I was,
because you're a big-time actor. You knew all the ladies. You had the trailer. You probably had
12,
Nintendo in there. You wanted to see my trailer.
At 12, I had a 15-year-old girl kind of do things to me. I played like I was sleeping.
You played like you were sleeping. What was his name?
Her name.
All right, you don't have to say. She's not sitting in the room back there.
No, but it's funny. She was a tomboy, and she became a lesbian later in life. But it was
kind of funny. She was abused. You can guarantee. And the way kids that are abused, once they hit about 13, 14, will start abusing much younger kids. I bet she hit some 8, 9, 10-year-olds, too.
I don't know. But, I mean, it was fun play. I mean, it wasn't. We weren't going all the way, but it was like I learned a lot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I bet you did. God bless you. Speaking of fantasy becoming reality, Stephanie, 17, what's up?
Hey, guys. Oh, my God, I love you guys. Okay.
We love you, too.
Huh?
We love you, too.
Oh, my God. I listen to you guys every night. Dr. Drew, you're the best.
Stephanie, thank you.
Okay.
You are, Drew.
You are. He's cute, too.
Oh, baby.
He's wearing a little gray sweatshirt with gray sweatpants right now.
You're abusing me, but Isai's scaring me tonight.
I do that.
All right, what's up, woman? Go ahead.
Stephanie.
Okay, here's my question. Okay, my boyfriend and me have been dating for 3 months, right?
Yeah.
And don't worry, Dr. Drew, I'm using contraception.
God bless you. Good.
Okay, he had a fantasy about me and one of my best friends, which is a guy, having sex. So he wanted to act upon it. We did. And he said that
Hang on one second. I'm just convinced the outcome's not going to be good. So let me just reiterate. This is the night where we examine fantasies that shouldn't become reality. So go ahead.
Okay, yes, this is very true. All right, and it turns out to where basically we started foreplay, and
you, the three of you.
Yeah.
You and two guys.
Yeah.
All right.
Your best friend, your boyfriend, and you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is there anything we should know about your best friend?
Huh?
Anything
gayish?
Oh, he's cute.
Is he gay?
Yeah, but is it, you know, are the guys more into each other? Or
this is how it turns out.
He has a poster of Mark Paul Gosselaar.
Shocking. Listen. Yeah. A 17-year-old wants to bring another male in with you. Usually that's an excuse to be with the man.
Yeah, I ended up getting pushed out of the bed.
Oh, man.
And the little one said, roll over, roll over.
Yeah. Now, I want you to do me a favor, a huge favor, Dr. Drew.
Yeah?
Okay, I want to know if you would call him and, like, ask him what the heck his problem is.
We would love to.
Mm-hmm.
You will?
We'll talk about it. We'll put you on hold for a second and think about it,
all
right?
Thank you so much.
The boyfriend or the best friend? The boyfriend or best friend?
The boyfriend.
The boyfriend.
What about the best friend? What if we got him on the phone?
Well, see, the thing is me and him aren't talking right now.
Well, that would be a more interesting person to speak to.
Well, he's spending the night over there, I think.
We wouldn't have...
At your boyfriend's house.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
They're gay.
Honey.
They are gay.
Yeah.
All right. Honey. Hold on. Hold on a second.
Thanks.
Hold on. Yikes.
Hang on a second. What are you doing? 2, 3, 4.
You were going to see if she was going to be talking to someone in the background.
Right.
That's no fake. I don't
think.
No, I think she's real.
She's delivered it effectively enough that I'm willing to go for it.
Brian, we get her number?
All right. It's just a little too coincidental that he happens to be spending the night over there.
Okay. Oh,
man.
And now they're not talking.
It's just bogus, but it's worth pursuing.
She's a beard. She's a cover.
Man.
Something else I don't know.
All right.
People don't do this. I mean, what's in it for her?
Well, nothing. The guy used. No, what's in it for her?
What's in it for her to have us call this guy?
She wants us to be her voice.
Yeah. No, I think she wants to humiliate the boyfriend.
Yeah, but if she were up for that, she'd be pissed and we'd get all that going, too. And she'd like, yeah. We'll see.
No, we'll call.
I'll bite.
You'll call on the line?
Yeah, we'll call him.
Yeah. Brian's calling
him. They're calling. They're getting him on.
Holy.
No, we're going to just scream out, not on the phone, though.
Let me just, for the record, say that this is a bogus call.
No, it is.
I
don't know, dude.
But that's all right.
Let's gamble on it.
No, let's proceed as though it were not.
but okay. For the record.
All right.
Oh, my God.
This is another call, though.
Jason. 25.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up? You're on the line. Go ahead.
Hey, I have a little problem. My back is all busted up, and I'm on OxyContin.
What is the nature of your back injury?
I have ankylosing spondylitis.
Ankylosing spondylitis?
Yeah.
How long have you had it for?
About 2.5 years since.
What is that?
It's a rheumatic condition where basically the ligaments and tendons that hold your back together calcify, and you get something called a bamboo spine. But it's also there are multiple other joints involved.
And what does OxyContin do then?
It's a profoundly potent opiate.
And does it make you feel good?
It's heroin and a pill.
Hillbilly heroin.
If you have
heroin,
to do it every day, it's not the same thing. You know what I'm saying?
No, I understand it is, but neither is heroin.
Right.
And the deal is here, well, the one element that makes this, the OxyContin, the issue as opposed to the AS is whether or not you have a family history of alcoholism.
I do, but I personally don't believe in it.
I understand, but that's why you found your way to something else. And well, alcoholism in a family.
It kind of turned out that way. I understand, but
with your family history, you've got a serious condition here, and it's opiate addiction. Non-alcoholic biologies don't get opiate addiction. You inherited that gene. You knew to stay away from alcohol. You got pain. Someone showed you opiates. And what happens in this genetic setup, we don't know how or why yet, but I see this every day of my professional life, is that you get this pain-reward cycle going where the more OxyContin you take, the worse your pain is. So you try to get off it, and you get this bone-crushing back pain. You can't, so you keep going. And it's a serious thing.
So his question is, can you prevent him from having any little offspring?
Yeah, I want to have a baby with my wife, and I'm afraid.
You shouldn't forget the fertility issue. You shouldn't just by virtue of being strung out on opiates. You're not prepared to be a parent until you deal with that problem.
Hillbilly Opie. Now on to something else. Forget the medical stuff.
All right, I'm going to be quiet, and you guys handle it.
Fine. Stephanie?
Yeah.
It's me, Stryker. I know you love Drew, but hello there.
Okay, hey, okay. I just want to say one thing.
Yes.
I swear on the Bible I am not lying about this.
All right.
I just wanted to make him embarrassed because he's a jerk and he did that to me.
All right, let's go.
All right, let's go. Go ahead.
That's not wasting time. Hey, Robert.
Yeah?
What's up, man? You're on Loveline. Esau Morales is here. I'm Stryker and Dr. Drew, and we have a couple questions for you.
Okay.
Number one, have you been dating a girl named Stephanie?
Yes, I have.
And how's that been going?
It's been going okay, but, you know, it's not too arousing.
Right. Do you know the words to The Music Man?
No, I don't.
Ask more questions for us.
All right.
Before you go down that path.
How long have you guys been going out?
Oh, I don't know, about 2 years.
Have you had sex with her?
Yes, I have.
Oral sex?
Yes, I have.
Do you have orgasms frequently with her?
Not as many as I think I should.
Okay. Maybe because she's a female. Have you had any experimental things with Stephanie and friends or anything up that alley?
Yes, I have.
What is that, threesome or something?
Yes.
With you and, like, two girls, right?
No.
Oh, two boys. You and another boy and her.
Yes.
And what happened when that went on?
Well, I didn't really pay much attention to Stephanie. I was more with the boy.
Because you like guys more?
Yes. It was more arousing.
Was that the first time you found out you like dudes, or you knew?
It was more the first time, but I had another time before that.
So why are you stringing Stephanie along as your girlfriend?
For an image.
Does she know that?
People think I'm straight.
Does she know that?
I don't know.
I think she's got an
idea
now.
Maybe you guys want to talk about it?
I guess.
Stephanie?
Yeah.
Do you want to chime in?
Okay.
It's okay, you know.
Your butthole.
It's pain. You're feeling hurt, but the fact of the matter is, you know, now, he knows now. I think everybody can, you know, kind of let go of the personal, you know, pain.
And he's gay.
Exactly.
You just didn't arouse me.
Oh, well, I'm glad I didn't arouse you.
Yeah, but it's, you know, these
you
things.
You had a small penis anyways.
Stop. Now you're trying to hurt.
It's skinny as a pickle, that penis.
Yeah, it is.
Stop. You're trying to hurt him, and it's not really what's called for here. I think, you know,
it's called for.
Esai, I disagree with you a little bit.
That's okay.
A little bit.
He was leading me on.
Exactly. You didn't have to lead her down the primrose path.
That's true.
Okay. What true?
I want to talk to Robert once.
But here's the thing.
Robert, what was the name of the guy that you guys were with?
I'm not sure. I think it was...
Oh, yeah. I don't know his name. Okay. What was the name of the guy that you got? What was your best friend's name?
Larry.
How is it that Robert doesn't know that?
Huh?
What would Robert say if I asked him who the guy's name was? What the guy's name?
He didn't really know him.
He doesn't know his name?
Well, not really.
He didn't
liar,
ask him his
liar,
name?
Whore, liar, whore, you know it.
Oh my God.
Didn't ask him his name?
That's a sound effect.
Huh?
Didn't ask him his name?
Okay, ask him if he knows Cartwright. Just say Cartwright, and he'll probably know him.
Why? Who's that?
Huh?
Who's that?
That's what he's known as.
All right. So what? So where are you at with all this? Let's say this is actually happening.
Huh?
And he knows he's gay. He's interested in being gay. You were sort of just a cover for him. And what are you going to do now?
I'm going to dump him. I'm not talking to him again.
Okay, but can you understand, if this is real...
It's real, I swear.
I'm just having I have a very difficult time accepting that.
True.
It raises a significant issue, and that is that here's a guy that's having trouble dealing with sexuality. He discovered it in the course of this...
With my best friend.
Did you not bring the whole thing together?
Huh?
It was your idea, right?
Yeah, but
all right,
I didn't
there we go.
Him.
Just look. Just realize that whenever anyone engages in these things, the feelings that come out of them are completely unpredictable. And in this case, he found out he's gay.
Obviously.
Which is a tough thing for him to accept. He was already trying to be straight. Can you support a friend that he made a mistake? He didn't see these things in himself. He's got a painful reality he has to come to terms with. You know, you want to make that worse by outing
him.
Why are
you preaching to Stephanie, though?
Because he wasn't like he willfully went out to try to protect himself with her. He discovered that's what he was doing, and he doesn't know.
He's been with dudes before. He was trying to be an image, and Stephanie is the butt of his.
Not only that, but I just lost my best friend and my boyfriend.
Ah, screw that boy. We're only 17 anyways.
Don't worry about that. I'm just concerned with people trying to lash out at each other.
Right, that's
okay, I'm sorry. In the moment there.
No, and I understand. Believe me, I understand. The deal is not to take it personally. And that's the hardest part because, of course, it's you who's involved. But, you know, you're realizing that you're young. You're going to meet a lot of different people in your life.
Yeah, that's true.
And you're going to be okay. The fact that, you know, you don't have to do this for 5 years and then find out or have kids with somebody.
Where did this happen? Where did this happen, Stephanie?
In his house.
In his
trailer
house?
Park.
His trailer park.
Trailer park.
Hi, I'm Jerry Springer, and you're listening to Loveline. Carola and Dr. Drew.
What room was it in?
Huh?
What room was this
There's only one room in a trailer, I believe.
Not really, no. He has one of the extended trailers. It's a pretty big trailer.
And what room did it happen in?
Huh?
What room did this happen in?
In the little den part.
Hey, Robert? Robert?
Yeah?
What room did this happen in?
In the den.
Okay. All right. Not when I put them on hold like that fast, can they? They can. Okay. All right. Do you have anything to say to all this, Robert?
Not really. Just, you know, it happens, you know. And I just found out I was gay, and I like it.
And how about this? Is this your new partner, her ex-best friend?
What?
Is her best friend your new partner?
Yes, he is.
Hmm. You should get his name down, though. That...
Yeah. How is it you didn't know his name?
What?
How is it you didn't know the name of your new partner?
You didn't need to. I'm sorry. I mean,
she brought him over.
But you just said he's your new boyfriend.
Yeah, well, I know. That was the only time
bingo,
I met him.
Bingo. Right. How do you know he's your new boyfriend then?
All right, Drew. Drew, I think you're making it. Maybe. I don't know.
No. Point being is, you know, everyone in the audience can learn a little bit from
someone. Right.
Whether it's
from
real
a bogus call like this.
No. I'm taking the last word. If that is true, gay man Robert that was dating Stephanie, please, you're gay. Fantastic. Wonderful. It's going to be tough in the beginning, but you'll be fine. Just don't string along girls when they're 17, because I think Stephanie's hurt if it's true. Stephanie, find yourself another man, a straight one. Maybe football player.
And you're not
some
the first girl to have gone through that. I've heard of a lot of cases like that.
So oh, really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we got to take a break. It's Loveline. Isai Morales is here. I'm Stryker and Dr. Drew. More coming up after the US. Yeah, we're back on Loveline. Loveline, Stryker, Dr. Drew, addiction medicine specialist.
You sound very composed.
I feel good.
Even though we just dove into the seat.
I love it. We were outside. I'm like, are we back on the radio right now? I have a mint in my mouth.
I'm sitting down here about to talk. He goes, oh, was it? This is radio? Radio? We
are?
Right.
Nice. That was my mint. Isai Morales is here. Thank you. Isai Morales is here. You can see him on NYPD Blue. What day and time is it on these days?
Tuesdays at 10.
On which network?
ABC.
ABC.
All Brown Channel.
There you go. Let's get into that for one sec in a very good sort of way.
The call about that coming up.
All right.
Well, kind of. Yeah. I saw you on TV recently with, I believe, Edward James Olmos. Is it because you're famous or you would be anyways? I don't know if political is the right word, but very involved with different causes, whether it's for, you know, Hispanic community or the Latin community or...
Environmentalism.
Yeah, exactly.
I call myself an activist because I'm an actor who likes being active and wants to have a positive impact on the community as opposed to just taking from it. And I think too many people in our society are satisfied just milking it, you know, gimme, gimme, gimme. And I think, you know, they're part of the problem, not the solution. So I feel an innate urge to contribute back in whatever way I can. And frankly, I'm a cause slut. You know?
I don't think I've talked to you since September 11th.
Oh, my God.
How do you feel about all that?
Put it this way. The worst thing that happened, in my opinion, they got rid of Bill Maher politically. Understandable, but that's the name of his show.
Listen, I'm so mad about that because that was just vintage Bill Maher. There was nothing unusual about that. He's a libertarian. He speaks his mind.
That's right.
He has a certain point of view, but people were so hypersensitive and raw about the issues they can't talk anymore.
Well, I have really kind of radical, kind of left of center views on our society in general, the media, who owns us all, you know, how it's filtered, how real information doesn't get to us, and, you know, the messages of the Osama bin Laden, they don't want it because he might be giving hidden clues. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. They didn't seem to need his hidden clues to do, you know, 9/11 on video.
Right.
And I think it's a way for our government to really suppress any sort of, you know, sympathy that our people can have for what they're trying to do.
Hmm.
I feel that it was wrong what they did, yet at the same time, what outlet do we give people to vent their frustration at our really screwed up foreign policy? Because we do take advantage of a lot of people around the world, and you can't touch us because we're the U.S. and we're always the good guy.
But what about the countries we do help?
What about them? We help their leadership suppress democracy in their countries. Look at Latin America. I mean, there's a reason why it's so, you know, poverty-stricken. There's, you know, and I'm not anti-American. I love America in principle. But the people that have hijacked our government positions and whatever, they're doing it to create the most profit for themselves and to give America markets. It's about markets. It really, you know, they don't need guns anymore. Guns are to force these contracts that we put on these people. Oh, you don't want to do business with us? Guess what? We're going to find cyanide in a grape from your country. Now your whole grape industry is down. Now are you going to play ball with us or what? That's how we're kind of bullies. And that's why they did what they did to us, in my opinion, because they had to hit us where it hurt the most. And you know what? Innocent people are the ones that die, not the people that do, you know, the evil to them. And that's where I see, you know, I think it's wrong. It's misguided. But at the other, you know, same time, what are we giving these people instead? They have no lives.
Isai Morales, everybody.
Oh, right.
Very good.
I don't want to sound like I'm giving aid or comfort to the enemy.
No.
But what are we doing to exacerbate or help the problem? And that's what I think Americans should really focus on.
And you are...
No, not all right.
Not all right.
You are an activist.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get our vibe back now that we had the first 51
let's talk about
minutes
sex.
Of this program. Jesus, salt and pepper. That's right. Jeff?
Yeah.
You there, man? You're 23 on Loveline.
Hi. Let's see here. I'm in an all-white community, and I just basically started dating a black girl.
Basically started, or you are?
Well, yeah, I'm dating a black girl.
Okay.
What is it? You're 23. What does an all-white community mean?
All-white high school, except for one family.
Yeah, but you're not in high school anymore.
No, I'm just saying, well, now it's an all-white high school. There isn't anybody there from that family.
So you mean you're growing up, you've not been exposed to people of color? Yourself?
Not particularly, no.
Yourself, all right. What about where you live now?
Same place.
I see.
So where'd you find this one particular girl at?
And why her?
Online,
interesting.
Yeah.
Where does she live? How far away?
She lives 2 hours away right now.
All right. Well, so what's the problem?
Until Saturday. Saturday, she's going to be living 40 minutes away.
All right, what's the problem?
I would like to know how to, like, tell my parents, because I know they'll be, like, shocked, but I know they won't care.
Yeah.
You don't really need to tell them yet. I mean, she's an online girlfriend.
What's she going to tell her parents?
No, she's like...
You know what I mean?
I'm dating Greg Brady, Mom!
There goes the neighborhood.
Bum, 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 bum.
She's only dating
bum, 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 bum,
she only dates one.
Bum, 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 bum.
Maybe you're just, you know, I mean, what's the attraction, though?
His favorite band is New Edition.
No. She's beautiful. She's funny. I mean, she came and saw me, and then I went and saw her. And
that's a bona fide relationship, then, huh?
Like, yeah.
Now, listen, it sounds great. Jeff, you will... Hours. Listen,
Jeff, you're healthy and being
you're
normal.
You're in there. It's
don't
good.
Worry about your family.
You will persevere. Every relationship has its own little quirks and things it's got to overcome.
I mean, is there a history of bigotry in your family?
No, definitely not. I mean, my grandpa was the first white doctor in Flint or Michigan, whatever, to take black patients. So.
Okay. Well, I think, you know.
Yeah, but that was in 1989.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
I think as long as you're happy. Dude, I'm just...
People,
you know,
will be fine. Yeah, they will be fine with it.
As long as they see that her effect on you
that's
is healthy,
right. if your family's...
No problem.
Yeah. Your school in Brooklyn, Eastside, the one you went to with Wesley Snipes, what was the racial makeup in the Performing
really
Arts Academy?
Mixed. It was really mixed because, you know, that's what they went for.
Right.
You auditioned to get in, but it was mostly majority white, but it had black, you had Indians, you had Latinos, Asians.
Wow, very good. As did my school as well out here in L.A. All right, unfortunately, we got to take another quick break. We're going to come back and talk to you about a guy who creamed too quickly, according to him. And we'll find out what the hell's going on with this cream and more on Loveline. Hold on. Hello, we are back on the world famous National Love Line. I'm Stryker in for Adam Carolla, who's out of town. I think he's going to be back in a couple of days. So I'm hanging out for another hour with you guys, along with Dr. Drew, addiction medicine specialist. Once again, Drew, thank you for having me and being so kind every time
Thanks
I'm in here.
Thanks for coming. It's great.
I appreciate it. And the caller's always so cool. And Isai Morales is here, an activist, but unbelievable actor as well. He's been successful for, going on like 18, 19, 20 years in the business.
Bad Boys was shot in 82,
cool.
Dude.
20 years ago.
Now, did you get hit in the face with Sean Penn's pillowcase full of the Pepsis?
No, he was getting the big blonde guy and the black guy.
Okay.
Tweety and the Viking.
Right.
Those guys.
Now, what happened to the kid in the movie that blew up the bowling alley in real life? Do you ever, remember?
The radio thing?
That, yeah, and he had a huge nose.
Yeah, he did a movie called Author with
okay.
Al Pacino.
Right.
Like one of his kids. And yeah. Here he's coming back into the business. I haven't heard from
his Not porn, though.
Eric,
acting business.
Eric Gurry.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you just gave him a little shout-out.
Yeah. Hi, Eric. I hope you're out there, and if you are, and you know, look me up, buddy.
Yeah, there you go. Excellent. All right, let's talk to this guy, Kevin. This is cool. Man, you're 18?
Yeah, I'm 18.
What happened to you?
All right. I was in a relationship for about a month. This is, like, really stupid what I did. But I basically had sex. It was my first time, and she was underage, like, 14.
Ooh.
And... yeah, that's a major party foul. And I basically was nervous. It was my first time, like I said. So I basically creamed too early. You know, I never knew what Peachka was like or anything like that. So
never knew what was like?
Peachka. You know, I don't want to say anything else too crude, but...
Peachka is Russian for cherry pie, maybe?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Gotcha.
And...
thanks for being so delicate about it, Kevin. Appreciate that.
Yeah. I hang around a lot of foreign friends, so I pick up all these words. Anyway, back to the story. So basically, I only lasted like 7 minutes. Her mom was about 5 seconds away across the hall. Her brother and sister would run into the room a lot. Our best friends were even in the room watching us. And
stop with that. What does that mean? What do you mean?
They wanted us to be alone. We have two best friends, and they wanted me and her to be alone so we can spend some alone time, which was a bad idea. So she ended up talking me into sex because I didn't want to, you know, have sex with her.
Well, of course you did. Yeah, of course you did. Yeah, you're just a victim, an innocent bystander.
You could not want to. And,
7 minutes, by the way, is not
fast. 7 minutes for first time out is sort of a marathon.
I have a friend, upper 20s, who is able to have an orgasm at the strip clubs.
Oh, there are lots of people
a
like
guy?
That. No, there are lots of people like that.
Yeah.
As an orgasm
the girl,
just
he'll
looking?
Get a lap dance at, you know, any of the clubs out here.
And he needs a dry cleaning bill or something?
Yeah.
He's done after. He's there 5 minutes, spends $20 on the dance. He's like, Strike, I'm ready to go. I'm like, no. I don't know how that can happen.
Lots of people. That's true. A lot of males.
Not uncommon.
Yeah. See, I find that, like, if you're really in love and stuff like that.
Yeah. You're like Barry White all of a sudden.
And she's in really good shape. Yeah. It's like you're all of a sudden, you know, after the first hour, you know, you don't realize that, you know, time's gone by. And then next thing you know, you're in that slippery slope and you can't stop. And you're like, hey, hold it. Hi. I'm almost there.
Exactly. But, Kevin, I think you creaming too quickly isn't the problem. You're having sex with a 14-year-old for your first time in her house with her friends. Other, I don't know how old
wanting to finish up quickly because mom's nearby. 7 minutes. You're fine.
Okay, is there any way I can actually prolong it, maybe?
Yeah.
Masturbate before you have sex.
Think of Rosie O'Donnell.
Masturbate. Think of unpleasant things.
And, said that out loud.
Hey, listen.
I didn't say that.
It was just a balloon thought bubble over his head. But next time, don't have people watching and don't have people ready to walk in the room. You need to reduce your anxiety in these situations. And also, listen. Think how many things, how anxiety-provoking this situation was. Mom across the hall, best friends watching, brother and sister in and out with an underage person.
No one you can
first time out.
Right.
And
come
no
on.
Condom. That was
the fact that you even had a...
Wait, what? And no condom?
Yeah, that was a major party foul. So I was like just crapping bricks, seriously.
Dude, party foul is when I spill my free shot from the bartender. Your party foul is letting the fluids loose inside.
You shouldn't have been able to have an erection for a month after that, just from the fear of all that experience.
Kevin, you sound cool, man.
Is this like to change diapers?
Is this girl pregnant? Any chance?
No, we definitely made sure that she wasn't. And I pulled out because I felt it coming, so I just pulled out.
And you understand that doesn't prevent a pregnancy.
Oh, yeah. So we even went and checked and stuff and made sure everything was clean. Right. She was totally fine. She had her period the next couple of weeks.
All right. Good times.
And, yeah. Oh, Isai Morales, dude, that was an awesome speech about the government and everything and foreign policy.
Thank you, dude.
Pretty cool, man.
Thanks of Rosie so O'Donnell.
Dude. Oh, man.
No, he's into compassionate, compassionate.
Think of
caring,
Rosie O'Donnell.
Sorry.
I'm sorry, dude. I had to do that once. I'm sorry.
Don't worry about it. Aaron.
Yes.
What's up, man? You're 22.
How are you guys doing?
Very good.
Good. This question is for Dr. Drew.
Aaron.
I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
Okay, this past weekend, right, I was with, like, one of the hottest chicks I've ever been with.
Mm-hmm.
And her friend was a stripper, and we were all having a couple drinks, blah, yada, yada, yada. And they went in the room, and they got butt naked under the sheets, right?
The two of them.
Yeah, so I'm thinking threesome, right? And then...
Get out.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I started going down on one of them, and I couldn't get an erection for the life of me.
Think of Rosie O'Donnell.
How disappointing, Aaron.
Yeah,
must have
I know.
Been very frustrating.
Got two strippers in front of you?
No, one of them was a stripper.
It was so good.
Man? Was the other one a man?
No. They were both
so good he couldn't stand it.
Hot.
You pulled a George Costanza.
Yeah. It was overwhelming.
It was, yeah. The substance thing is your body temperature goes way too high, and, you know, you
really? Just, is there like a medical condition for that? I mean,
it's just anxiety, and there's all sorts of psychological explanations that people can get into, but
maybe you know, you need a wingman
being involved and being lost and consumed by these situations that are too intense.
God, but, Aaron, I'm thinking about this.
The bottom line is your biology operated in such a way as to prevent.
Well, actually, you know, a couple weeks ago, this other girl was, you know, going down on me also, and then I got soft in the middle of that.
Oh, so you're having that problem.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm having a
problem. We got Ron Jeremy.
Are you on any medication?
No, I'm not.
What's your nutrition like? I hate to go back to this, but I mean it. No, I
do. Do you have any medical problems?
No, I don't. Actually, you know.
Have you been anxious or having panic attacks or anything of that sort?
No, I mean, I was with a girl for about a year, and we were having regular sex. I mean, just, you know, I never had these problems.
Were you, after this having had happened a week ago, were you thinking about it happening again this time, and then it's called performance anxiety. The fact that it has happened is freaks you out so much. Mm-hmm. You convince yourself it's going to happen again. It's going to happen again, and here it is. Experience of a lifetime. I know it's going to. Oh no!
Yeah. And next time you're with the girl, you're going to be thinking about this conversation and the time before and the possible
self-fulfilling prophecy.
That's right. And once you get that block in place, your penis becomes someone else's.
Like a scared turtle's head going back in its shell.
That's right. It's
my dream. These girls were telling me they wanted to both go down on me at the same time.
Why am I? Like,
wait, hold on, Aaron.
What the hell?
Aaron, why didn't you just let them and pray to God? You know, something would happen.
I love Misa's reaction. Brian, I hate you. Aaron, I hate you. It's like...
No, I'm very happy. I'm very in love. But, man, where was I when all this stuff was going on?
Because the other problem with the other girl, you know, I'm thinking the same thing's going to happen with these two girls.
Well, you got to get your mojo back. You need to get in a situation where you're in a relationship and you're not so anxiety. If you know,
yeah,
it's
but
not
is
so
there a medical, broken. Like, should I take Viagra?
No.
Not Viagra, but I will tell you one thing. Yohimbe.
Yohimbe works. Yohimbe helps with erections.
And not only that, but other nutrients. When I take Product 19, I mean, I hate to give a plug or something, but, you know, vitamin type stuff, not just any, but, you know, certain... It has an immediate
well,
effect.
Well, in terms of raising testosterone levels, exercise, weightlifting.
That's right. That's that kind of stuff.
Does that help out?
Absolutely.
No wonder. I've, for like the last year
watching,
and a half.
Actually, believe it or not, watching pornography raises testosterone levels. There's various ways you can start to.
Not gay pornography.
Getting into really? Positions of authority, succeeding at work, all these things raise testosterone levels.
Aaron, do you have any porn?
Yeah, actually, I love porn.
All right. Well, go pop in a DVD and. Get all the angles going and find a woman.
After the first, like, 5 minutes or something.
No, but you know what? Sometimes I even watch porn, and I have a hard time getting it up.
Since the incident?
Yeah.
You know, Aaron, listen, I do think it's worth having a medical evaluation because there are multiple different medical issues that can come to bear on this. Obviously, the most common thing in your age group is anxiety, but, you know, it's worth an evaluation to make sure you're not diabetic or God knows what, so, you know, the hypothyroid.
Have a backup man handy too.
Basically, you're screwed.
At least I want some job.
Striker was going to give you his number. Wingman for hire. I'm out of commission.
Yeah, very good. But Courtney?
Yeah?
Esau Morales is here.
Oh, okay.
He's thinking about you.
Courtney, I want to know what your problem is.
Okay, well, I have a major problem, and I know a lot of people have been talking about threesomes lately. Well, me and my husband were very kinky. And we haven't been married for a year yet, but we wanted to try a threesome. But the only problem is it was with my friend.
Okay.
And she's only 16.
Hmm.
And, well, but my friend didn't want me to be in the room at the time, so...
That wouldn't be a threesome.
I know, but...
That'd be your boyfriend just getting...
That's
your
fiancé
actually.
Banging your best
no,
friend.
Husband.
Your husband banging your best friend.
Yeah.
Good time.
And you outside of the room.
How old are you?
19.
In what world is that okay?
Good question.
We're drinking.
So what do you want to know?
I told him, you know, I forgave him.
Mm-hmm. Why? Why?
They did it already? Or no?
Yeah.
No, they didn't go through it because she's only had sex once, and she felt really uncomfortable with it, so she told him no.
But this was him pushing for this?
Well, yeah, but I told him it would be better if it was somebody else.
And no ass. And why you take your best friend? What kind of a jerk is this guy? But be that as it may, why didn't you participate? Why wouldn't he allow you to be in there with it?
Well, it wasn't him. It was her.
Why wouldn't she let you be a part of it?
I don't know.
All right. Marital counseling? Okay.
What?
You really do need to look into this. You're going down a path here that is... Jesus didn't have this kind of forgiveness.
Yeah.
Courtney, you got to use a little common sense. Are you doing that
at
all?
It's already like this.
Yeah, no, what
it's
I'm saying
past
is
tense.
Yeah.
I mean, I think
yeah.
you should really, you know, learn as much as you can from it and protect your husband from jail, you know, protect him from
Oh, yeah, but it's just I said that I forgave him, but since that happened, like every time we have sex, I feel weird.
Then you definitely, as Drew said, you got to go see counseling.
Listen. You got to get some help. Yeah. This is not something that's going to be a single experience.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody, a husband that's capable of this, is not going to do stuff like this just once.
Are you talking to your 16-year-old friend at all still?
Yeah.
And how's that going?
Oh, we act like nothing has happened.
What is your boyfriend a drug addict?
No.
Your husband is he alcoholic?
Oh no.
He, you know what? To be the devil's advocate here, he probably wants what every guy wants, you know.
If he's married, he relinquished that. That's it.
I know.
And now
he's
abusive to his wife. Hey, I'm taking your best friend. How do you sit in here while I just bang your friend? Just relax.
He forced
relax.
Her out of the room.
No, but no, he didn't force her.
Yes.
The other girl did.
Well, but he
went along with it. Mm. Yeah. See if yeah. So here's the thing. I mean, he just wanted, you know, what he can't have, and it turns a lot of guys on the forbidden. And unfortunately, once they have it, it's like a cycle. You know, they feel shame. They feel pain, and then
they swear
they'll never do it again,
and
but
they do it
within
again.
2 or 3 weeks or
that's
a month
right.
or whatever, it happens again and
that's
again.
Right. That's right.
So what you have to do, I think, is realize this, catch it, you know, consciously
intercept that cycle and try to break it and, if anything, replace it. A lot of people try to get rid of addictions, and frankly, you know, sometimes it's almost impossible to you know, create a void and not fill it. So you replace it with a healthier habit, you know, a healthier what's the word, hobby.
Strippers.
Yes. Well, you know,
instead of bringing this 16-year-old friend,
I mean,
go
that's
to the club and
tough.
Bring the girl along that, who's not going to care afterwards.
Yeah, and I mean,
is that right, Drew?
And I'm sure she was titillating him, just, you know, the forbidden nature of it, the friend nature of it, you know, the illegal aspect of it.
Right.
So it's a very difficult thing, but the both of you have got to really kind of come to terms with this, or else your marriage is kind of shaky.
It's done. Johnny.
Yo.
What's up, man? You are 19 on Loveline.
All right, like up until a month or two ago, I used to drop a lot of like ass. I used to fry a lot. And
Mom, you on the phone?
What's up?
Somebody else on the phone. There you go.
You need to stay off that phone, lady. What's it called?
You hear that in the background?
You get that, Anderson? You need to stay off that phone, lady.
And your mom isn't concerned about you frying regularly?
I don't think really she cares or knows about it. But
how many times have you done it?
No wonder you're frying so
acid.
Often.
Like, I don't know. I've done it like 25, 30 times, mm-hmm. like at a time. But I mean, like, that was the whole spam, but I've done it like four like drops at a time, you know.
Right.
And I was just kind of wondering what the side effects were, like the big side effects when you get older or something.
Long term, well, Drew, I'm curious.
What are you noticing so far?
What's up?
What are you noticing so far?
Nothing really. I mean,
you don't still see trailers?
What?
You don't still see trailers?
See trailers?
Like streamers?
Like colors going after fast moving objects?
Oh, yeah, I see that. Like when I'm watching TV or something like that, like something out of the corner of my eye, like will move.
Right, that kind of thing. That's from a brain injury. Okay, that's a sign that the brain has been injured, altered. That's why you see these things. Some people see shadows fleeting across. Other people see colors.
Yeah.
Colors persisting
that's
after fast. That's not a good thing. It means your brain's injured. Okay, it says where that's coming from. It's from a disruption.
It's trippy right now.
Will it ever heal? I mean,
no, it will not heal. Brain does not repair itself. And what we tend to see, well, brain cells, once they're gone. And neurons do not regenerate. They don't have the capacity to divide and regenerate. And what we see later is, as a result of this, is a slowly progressive depression that can become really quite severe. And the syndrome associated with this in the more severe cases can be disability, inability to sort of hold a job and take care of yourself, that kind of thing. I've got a number of patients that live in group homes now because they just can't, everything's overwhelming to them and their depressions are so profound. And these are the kinds of, and there's personality changes of various types. And
even if you fry a lot with mushrooms and other things?
Well, basically all hallucinogenics do some version of this. And it's something called excitotoxicity. If it's causing hallucinations from excitement of the cells to the point that they explode, they die. Mm. And when those cells are gone, they don't get replaced. They can't. And it's the most of this happens in the mood region of the brain, because that's why you feel so good. You're overstimulating the mood areas.
Mm-hmm. And those are exploding, those particular
cells.
Serotonin inhibitors.
They tend to be serotonin-producing cells. So serotonin inhibitors don't work because those cells aren't there to be kicked along.
Right.
And these people often, to just to maintain their moods and prevent suicidal, they end up getting shots.
They have to keep doing it, right?
They get all very aggressive kinds of treatments because they're so miserable.
Well, I want to ask Johnny. Hey, since when you're doing the acid, are you doing it alone, with friends, parties?
With friends. We just like, you know, do them here and there, everywhere. I mean, we've done it at parties. I've done them at people's houses. Like,
and it's just added up and added up. Now it's like well over 25 times you've done it. Now you're getting a little worried.
Interesting. 25 times with acid is nuts. It's more like 50 with acid when I can guarantee you're going to have problems. The fact that he's having visual disturbances
suggests he needs to slow down and stop.
He's had the injury. He's an injury there. The other thing people get is something called a post-hallucinogenic perceptual disorder, where all of a sudden they'll feel like they're still high. They're kind of locked in. And
ecstasy happens.
Ecstasy does that too. But the locked in with acid can be going for months and months and months. And then they get depressed and panic attacks, and those depressions become very long-term.
Let me put it to you this way. You ever heard of Charles Manson? He fried a lot.
Did he? Interesting.
Mm. You knew that, Drew.
I did not know that.
Have you read the book, Helter Skelter?
No.
Interesting.
That's very interesting.
Brian? Brian likes it.
You need to stay off that phone, lady.
Thank you. Brian,
yep.
You're 25.
Yep.
Lactating breasts?
Yeah,
good times.
Unfortunately. And I'm a little bit paranoid.
Paranoid of what?
I have no idea what it means.
How big are you, so to speak? How tall are you? How much do you weigh?
6 feet, 6'1". Weighing just over 400.
Ooh. Is this Jared from Subway?
No.
No, okay.
I am, yes.
He's got that husky boy voice, doesn't he? He's got that husky voice. Brian,
walking more. My blood pressure's coming down. I'm trying to do what I can, but
yeah. But the prolactin, the milk production by the breast is from a hormone called prolactin, and that's secreted by your pituitary gland in response to a number of things. One of the things that can elevate it is thyroid conditions. So if you get hypothyroid, it'll cause this reactive stimulation of the prolactin.
Okay.
And medication being the most common thing that causes this. Are you on any medication?
Nothing right now.
Yeesh. Then you need to get checked out. You need to go see your doctor because it's a significant sign.
What's the biggest part of your diet?
What?
What's the main ingredient in your diet? Like, what do you live off of mostly?
I'd say meat. I'm a meat eater. Definitely carnivore.
Okay. And you drink a lot of milk and stuff with?
I drink some.
Because I know that in Puerto Rico in the 70s, they had really high levels of estrogen in the cows to produce more milk.
Yeah, estrogen won't make you produce milk, though. Or you could take straight estrogen, you won't produce milk.
But I knew it's that prolactin. The hormones were affected.
Prolactin, and the prolactin is a specific pituitary tumor.
So why are the boobies lactating, Drew?
Prolactinoma. It could be a pituitary tumor, so that's the most serious.
So you need to see the doctor.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Check it out, brother.
These tumors are quite common. There's a book out there called Man Made by a guy named Ken Baker that chronicles what it was like. He was a normally developing guy and didn't develop all the usual sort of male characteristics. He wasn't very interested in women. He didn't sort of excel at sports. And one thing that happens when prolactin is up is testosterone goes way down. Mm. And they took out the tumor and testosterone went back up again. And he describes what it's like to be under the influence of a hormone, testosterone, and how it was like this storm where he couldn't kind of stop thinking about sex and all the stuff that most males are used to living with all the time. Mm. All of a sudden, the shock of going from...
It's like discovering electricity for that guy.
It was shocking. Right?
Oh, Jesus. Jamie.
Hey.
What's up, man? You're 22. Welcome to Loveline.
Hey, first of all, can I make a couple comments to your other callers? To the LSD guy, I've actually probably done LSD.
Hey, Jamie, ask your question. We got just a second here. Go ahead.
All right. My question is, I recently graduated from college, and since then I started doing, you know, abusing painkillers, and I used to have a coke addiction, which was pre-college that I've gotten back into since. I don't have much to do with my time except study for grad school.
Today, Junior?
And what's up?
But since then, I've lost my sex drive to, you know, have sex with my girlfriend. I don't really want to hang out with her too much.
Well, you're involved with drugs. You're on opiates.
Back on the sauce.
You're on opiates, right? Vicodin or OxyContin or something?
No, more of a Percocet, old tramp.
All right, Percocet is OxyContin, so there you go. Mm. And that just shuts down your sex drive. The other thing, they've actually documented where this goes on in your brain. There's a region called the anterior cingulate gyrus, which is the area that sort of is your motivation and where you want to go next. And that region is super active in most men. And they show, if you show porn films to normal males, that region just lights up. You show cocaine using films to those people, and there's almost no activity. You show that same film, those same two films, to an addict, they have no activity in relation to the porn, but tremendous anticipation of motivation in response to the cocaine film.
They get hard on for coke.
Well, it's just literally their drive centers have been overtaken by these chemicals. On top of that, the opiates just shut down your libido. That's just one of the side effects. So your whole motivational system has been moved over from reproduction and survival to get the drugs, and also you've been shut down by the opiates.
So if he gets back off the drugs, he's back on the girl probably, right?
But you're an opiate. You're a heroin addict. You're an opiate addict. It has a high recidivism, takes a long time to treat, and you got to be super motivated.
But I find myself being super motivated to study for this. I'm taking LSAT.
Enjoy. It's going to be very difficult to hold that all together and be an opiate addict. It's a progressive disease. It's a progressive disease. If people control it, people live with it for long periods of time before the house of cards falls.
So even though I'm managing now, chances are I won't be.
It's snowballing.
There will be consequences, is what I'm saying.
If you keep it up. In other words,
it's a progressive disease.
Accumulates.
It's a progressive disease. Mm-hmm.
And so what's your best recommendation?
Recommendation?
Salt Lake.
Yeah, you're in Salt Lake City. I don't know any programs up top of my head. I mean, I would check with one of the local universities, the Department of Psychiatry, see if they have a chemical dependency program and get an evaluation.
All right.
Okay, Jeremy.
Okay.
Good
luck, man. All right, on that note, we're going to take a break and hopefully talk to some callers that have more threesome problems. I think we're going to do that. Esau Morales is here, and we'll be back with more Loveline after this. We are back on Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. That is the phone number. Adam Carolla is gone for just a couple more days, so you have been dealing with me yesterday and tonight. I appreciate that. I am Stryker, live here in L.A., And I'm moving in with Dr. Drew next week into his house. And that should be pretty cool. I'll take care of the three kids.
Do with that bobcat. Unacceptable. Do with that bobcat we have in our backyard.
What's that? Oh, with the bobcat. A bobcat ate Drew's cat. I don't know if you talked about that on the air already.
No.
Sorry about that, man. That's awful. Oh, that's terrible. Isai Morales is here. He is currently on NYPD Blue.
A bobcat ate my dingo.
And he can talk like an Australian.
An Aussie. Nah, not really.
Gorgeous, gorgeous.
My questions are going to my pecker.
My pecker. Right. Good on you, mate.
Right. All right. We got to
see the size of that thing. It is huge.
Gorgeous. Gorgeous.
Nelson.
Yes.
29, on Loveline. What's up, man?
Well, I got a question for Dr. Drew. It seemed like I drank quite excessively, I'd say about a couple weeks ago. And possibly around, I'd say, 16 or so, plus, beers, and I never thought...
That's a normal night for Isai Morales and myself.
Man. I do one beer and I'm bloated.
it didn't seem too excessive, but...
Thank you.
What the cops say?
I kept going, and it's kind of hard to say no sometimes, but, afterwards, I didn't feel right. I mean, obviously, felt drunk the following day, it was the whole day, and then... It just kind of seemed like it screwed up my my brain chemistry and and now it kind of seems like I got like this pulsating in my head like on both sides of my temples, and I'm just curious like what if there's actual brain damage that can be caused from the actual poisoning.
Good question. I want to know that answer.
Probably not, though. If you were to do that repeatedly, like over years, definitely would ultimately have a significant impact on you. Definitely. Yeah.
So
what tends to be, what people tend to experience though after an acute alcohol exposure like this, is more of what we call a wet brain syndrome, meaning that your brain is injured, it's not working normally, but the cells aren't dropping out yet, they aren't dying. It's you need long periods of exposure to alcohol for that to happen significantly anyway.
Nelson, did you throw up that night when you had the 18
beers? No. It was weird.
It turns out that the glial cells are more sensitive to alcohol than the actual neurons themselves. The structure of the brain is actually of these glue cells. You're not looking at neurons. You're looking at this sort of gel.
Uh-huh.
And the gel cells, the ones that are more sensitive to alcohol. And when they're not healthy, the brain cells don't operate properly.
Right. Nelson, what were you going to say, though, about that?
Is this possibly then it kind of feels like it's some kind of a withdrawal then.
Well, and there's that, too. But, you get irritable and have diarrhea. And we call it the S, the shakes, and the fits.
Right. That's the worst. It only lasts for me a day after, though, normally.
What's the pressure on my temples then, Dr. Drew?
Maybe anxiety or just,
Well, it
a headache.
Like a physical physical alteration.
Well, how long ago this happened?
I'd say about a week and a half ago.
Had you been drinking for a while until you had that big binge? Were you daily?
I'd say about a couple times a week, but I mean, my average is probably a 12-pack. I mean, I worked up to that over the years, but...
per day, or how often?
No. Probably about a couple times a week, but this was actually a time that,
I know. Did you drink every day for the 2 weeks prior to that?
No, not at all.
All right. I don't think it's hard for me to make it significantly related to that binge.
You're going
to
be fine.
Yeah.
Getting drunk, hungover, it's horrible. Howard.
Hi. Am I on the air?
Yeah, you're on the air, Howard. You're 28.
Great. My question is for Isai Morales. First off, I really liked hearing what you had to say about September 11th. I think it was really well spoken. I think it's really important to remember things like the bombing of the Al-Shifa medical plant in the Sudan, which has really ravaged Africa, really contributed to people dying from AIDS. Also, that there's more prisoners in America per capita than any other place in the world. Important to remember over 90% of the arms were sold to Indonesia to go in and invade East Timor, one of the most genocidal wars that ever happened. And
the list goes on and on. I mean,
right.
What's
and,
done
one thing I wanted to get your take on was after September 11th, there was a lot of talk about the government working with Hollywood to try to boost morale, and definitely people's psyches were affected. And I assume that you work with major movie studios, and I just wanted to ask you if you've, what you've noticed as far as that goes, like movies like Black Hawk Down coming out, and just a lot of movies like that new Nicolas Cage film I don't even remember the name of. But
I've noticed a trend in Hollywood for almost all the time, since World War II,
you know, we've had a lot of actors and people. You don't need a propaganda department. You just need entertainment. Entertainment sometimes works as propaganda because it has a dulling effect on the mind if all you're worried about is, you know.
But he's obviously a conspiracy theorist. He thinks there's a couple guys in Hollywood saying, we got to, and getting phone calls
Black
in the
Hawk
White
Down
House.
Was made years long before
yeah.
September 11th.
The fact is that if you ever want to throw a great wrench in the conspiracy theory, go around a studio sometime. Is there anybody that's in charge of anything?
Right. No, but I don't believe that there is a conspiracy. It's like the mafia is not a conspiracy, but the mafia exists. It's a lot of like-minded people with like interests who have put their interest in the place
yeah,
of
but
national
the,
interests.
What is the movie company's interest? What is their interest?
Money.
That's
money.
It. That's it. Period. End of story.
Yeah, but
end
Howard
of story.
Is saying because of September 11th, are they making Black Hawk Down? That movie was made as well as that Nicolas Cage thing and that Arnold Schwarzenegger movie long before
date. They're there.
Think they're going to make movies? I don't know about that.
They don't need to. In my opinion, this population is sufficiently filtered away from world news. In other words, you go to Canada, you go to Europe, and the news is different.
Oh, it's completely different. You ever worked in a news department?
No.
I'm a Good Morning America correspondent.
And good for you, Drew.
But the point is,
you can't say what you want all the time.
I can say anything I want.
Yeah,
but the problem is the people that are producing news are concerned with capturing eyes. End of story.
Right.
End of story.
Wait, they're concerned
with
what?
Capturing viewers.
Oh, okay.
They're
right,
not anybody
right.
Think what any agendas other than getting
are.
The.
I
work with these people every day.
No, but
I'm
there's a subconscious. I really do believe that there is an establishment point of view.
I can only tell you the only time opinions do come up, they're along your lines. That they similar kinds of views to
right.
yours within the agency, meaning they're afraid that anything like that might happen.
75% of the population was anti-nukes during the Reagan administration. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, you know, they pushed the no-nukes movement out of sight.
Who did?
I think the media really helped kind of keep it down.
Where does it happen? Believe me, the people in the media
okay,
are much
Noam
more...
Noam Chomsky. You ever heard of Noam Chomsky?
Huh?
Okay. You ever seen him on TV? You won't. He's one of the best thinkers, and he's been...
You will not see most people that are interesting on TV because the people that create TV don't believe that they're entertaining.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing.
Wait, hold on.
We're getting into another thing.
Yeah,
how does this
seriously.
Affect our sex life? September
11th, I'm just saying...
Two big phallic symbols came down.
You guys are talking very interesting, but when I start losing a little... you know, interest after
Strike
5 minutes. Then I can just imagine my friends out there.
But thank you very much for at least, you know, just have an open mind and keep your eyes open, especially look for the international press to get some different perspective.
There you go.
Yes, internet is totally different. In fact, I heard a Russian journalist talking about it. He goes, look, United States, news is a capitalist endeavor. It's trying to make money. In Russia, it's a political endeavor.
That's right. But here's the difference between Russia and the United States.
The vodka.
In Russia, they knew that TASS and Izvestia was propaganda.
Yeah, it was
in
political.
New York Times, we think that's the truth. We think New York Times sets the tone of what we're going
to
talk about.
But they're doing it to make money, while the others are doing it to create political power.
Right, but who does the media serve? Does it serve the people?
No, it serves themselves to make money.
I agree.
I'm laughing, but it's a laugh of impatience.
Thank you. See, I tried.
See, we can't get
They're
sex.
Never
we
got
to move on
now.
To talk about sex.
Christ, Matt.
I like that drop.
All right, you guys can't talk for 2 minutes.
All right, just
Type
Riker.
Down.
How you doing?
Anderson, turn off their mics for a second. Unless it's you're addicted to some sort of heroin. What's up, Matt?
Not much. What's going on, guys?
Nothing, man.
I'd love the politics chat.
Sorry, dude. Did you lose?
Russ will talk. He'll start the clock running again if we talk.
Okay, sorry about that. Well, the thing is, the last three girlfriends I've had.
Striker's a taskmaster, got
right.
And every single one seems to cheat on me, and it's just a progressional every single time, and it's inevitable, and I put my trust into it, and I was just kind of curious if it could be like a psychological or subconscious thing, or if I just have a beacon that draws me to
What do you think you're doing to drive these three to go cheat on you?
To be perfectly honest, I don't honestly know. I know that I can get jealous, and I don't think that's like one of those things. Like if I believe it strong enough.
I don't know. Jealousy can especially if you're overbearing while you're jealous can drive someone away.
Well, okay, I understand where you're coming on, but
yeah. But you're perfect, Matt.
Of course.
No one's going to cheat on you.
Okay, well, this is the thing. That's every girl I get into a relationship with, I tell them from the start that's very important. If they have any intentions on just break up with me, I don't want to be cheating. I don't want to be... Honesty is very important to me.
Well, hold on, but the first thing you're saying to them, if you're going to cheat on me, tell me now?
It's not the first thing I say to them, but yeah. If it comes up, if there's a point where it seems like something that kind of makes me jealous, like they'll tell me about them flirting with another guy, I'll say, I'll make a comment or something, and I don't badger them by any means or anything, but I make it very clear how important to them it is, and the thing that hurts the most is they sit there and they lie to me about it when, you know... They sit there and tell me, you know, that...
I think you wanting to be honest with them is good, Matt, but the way you're going about it, sucky. I'm no woman. And if you want to pipe in, Ann, out there, and just hopefully agree with me. Drew, you can talk now.
We can talk now? You said we can talk. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I was waiting for him, actually, to talk.
You said to talk.
Dude, I'll tell you right now, it's a tough situation. A lot of women swear they want to meet you. They want to know you. Who's the guy who's serious about a commitment?
Well, that's what it is the last two times I've been in love when it happened, and that's what really I fall for these girls, and then...
All right, wait, now, Matt, what is cheating? What do they do?
They have physical relations with other guys.
What do they do?
The last one actually had sex with another guy.
But usually is that what they're doing, or they kind of hold hands and making out?
They're definitely not holding hands and making out. It's not okay. Cute by any means.
How do you know that? How do you catch them? That's what I want.
All right, go ahead.
Well, I caught actually the last one. I was very devious in finding out. I'm not necessarily proud of it, but. It was because I had that fear that it possibly happened, and if I were wrong about it, I would feel horrible. But the thing is, I was right. My instincts were correct.
Mm-hmm.
And
you spied on her?
No. I didn't spy. I actually we like share like email passwords.
Uh-oh.
And I read an email that she had actually it was a sent email to one of her friends.
It is. That's a form of spying.
Yeah. Right?
Well, she has your password. She wanted you to.
How
find
long into these relationships before you tell them you love them?
Usually 4 or 5 months.
Wow.
There have been three relationships, right?
Well, the first relationship was just my first serious girlfriend. I was by in no means in love with her. And she just actually started going out with somebody else without even telling me.
How old were you?
I was 17.
Hmm. It sounds like you have nice guy syndrome.
Yeah. That's where I was going with this, yeah.
It's not nice guy, it's crazy nice guy syndrome.
Yeah.
Like right. Crazy meaning,
like
I'm so nice, but they're going to be mean, but I better be nice about the way I say don't cheat on me, and you're being so nice when you're saying don't cheat on me. Man, I swear to God,
that's
you're
the
making
first
them
they...
crazed.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is if it's not one way, though, when we talk about it, I'm not always the one who brings up the thing about being honest and being truthful and not cheating. It's a very two-way thing. I'm not overbearing and I'm not overwhelming them by any means.
Is that what the girls would say?
Yeah, actually, to be perfectly honest, the last one I was with, I didn't even tell her. I wasn't even in love with her. She told me she was in love with me first.
Yeah.
Well, I can't get a read on this, but something's wrong. Yeah, the only variable we know that's constant is you.
No, but why do we blame the guy? Always been. If it was a girl calling and says, all my boyfriends cheat on me.
We blame the guy.
We blame the dogs. Yeah, it's the boys.
And she actually turned it around on me why she cheated on me.
Why?
She said because I would make her feel bad, like, for, like, little things. Like, I'm very good at manipulating people.
Yeah.
If they make me feel bad about something, I'll let them know, and then they'll end up feeling bad about it as well. But I don't go out of my way to make anybody feel bad. I have to be drawn into it. I have to be, you know, they have to take
it. Give us an example. What do you mean?
You're gay.
No.
I'm not gay.
Give us an example.
An example, I will say I'm sensitive. I'm not gay by any means. I know I'm sensitive. I'm also a manic depressive.
Hmm. All right, now we're getting warmer.
Hold on one sec, Matt.
Because I'm feeling overwhelmed just talking to Matt.
I was going
to
say, do you notice he keeps saying what he is and isn't to start off every sentence? I'm not overbearing, but there's one time this girl.
None of them have any relation to how I actually experience him. I experience him as overwhelming, intrusive, and demanding.
He wants me to hang up on him. I want to hang up on the guy. I don't want to speak to him anymore. He's making me crazy.
I understand the guy. I identify. Okay, he's got a lot of feelings, and he probably shares them too soon, and he's probably... He becomes, in a weird way, without being gay, he becomes the girl in the relationship, and the girl becomes the guy looking for that outside thing, that something. Well, what I would suggest is, you know what? You know, hold on to yourself. Don't let her know that you're that, you know, into her. Let her worry about where your eyes are straying, because that's what I noticed. Chicks that know their guys aren't going to go anywhere, they almost fall into this other thing.
Play the game a little.
They play the game a little. Yeah, back off. You know, don't let them know that that's your biggest fear.
And chill out verbally a little, Matt. Seriously, yeah. Just chill out. Well, don't.
I mean, have to take my own advice. I mean, I swear, I told my girl I loved her way sooner than that. You know?
It was weird because you told me you loved me during the break, Isai, and I'm really not.
It's a male friendly love, dude. It's a brotherly love, dude. Philadelphia, you know what I'm saying?
Got it.
Philly. Born gay, the life is too late. Live gay.
Thank you. And on that note, we're going to take another break with Esai and Drew, and I'm striking more love line after the end.
I'm addicted.
We're back. You're addicted?
I'm addicted.
So the. All right, welcome back. It's Loveline. I'd be Stryker, Ted, Ramon, along with Dr. Drew and Esai Morales. You can see him on NYPD Blue.
Tuesdays at 10
on the ABC, as you refer to it, the All Brown Channel. Is that
right? Yes, All Burrito Channel.
Burrito. Hello. You and Edward James Olmos. I saw you on hello.
Orale.
En la televisión, la pasado día, hablando.
Porquería.
No.
Grandes éxitos en español.
Para las personas que es latina y ellos no están la televisión mucho.
All right, Stryker. I'm going to start like singing Christian rock songs.
Was that all right?
Isn't Stryker like a Christian rock band?
Maybe from the mid to early 80s. Maybe early 80s.
Cool. You look
great,
though.
I do. Yeah. Am I looking all right?
Yeah, dude. You look.
Got a new MTV show.
MTV show starts again on Monday.
There you go.
That's right.
Yeah, what is it?
Who Knows the Band?
Oh.
It's called. It's like the second season, almost, I don't know, two seasons, three seasons, but they're running them again starting Monday, 4:30.
Syndication, dude.
There you go.
Go for it.
All right, I'll try. I'll see you on NYPD Blue one day. I want to arrest Dennis Franz, if you know what I mean. I don't know what that means. Wait, where's that threesome thing again?
Kinky.
Right there.
Threesome.
Stan?
Yeah.
I'm your biggest fan. You're 18.
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay. The other night, I had a party, and I was with these two girls.
No, you weren't.
Okay, I wasn't.
Okay, go ahead.
And, like, while I was having sex, it just go down.
This is the same call we just had.
It's the same thing. Over-anxiety, you're drunk, on drugs. How did you lure in two girls, Stan?
Easy. I don't know.
Is it your charming personality?
It's my charming personality.
Yeah, right? Scintillating intellect. And
did
and
you try?
Crisp wit.
Did you try, or did they initiate?
It was a mutual thing. Like, me and another girl were talking, and then she told her friend, and they just, we did.
Oh, dude.
How old were the girls?
One was 17, one was 18.
Mm. Well, it went limp because, Drew, we said it earlier.
Fear of prosecution.
Because God stepped in and said, we aren't going to let this happen.
We're not letting this a-hole get this
no. Even God was
human
jealous.
Beings are not.
God
we're just trying to get a last couple
get
calls.
Pregnant.
Yeah, we're almost done. Nicole?
Yeah.
What's up? You're 21.
Yeah, I was just calling. Dr. Drew had made a comment earlier about girls who orgasm quickly or multiple orgasms don't like oral sex.
It doesn't do much for them.
I completely understand that because that's me exactly.
Yeah, that's you. So,
is that the giving or receiving end?
No, they don't like receiving it. The women that are actually able to have orgasms during intercourse are usually the ones that are also multiply orgasmic and get little out of oral sex.
Well, they're probably hypersensitive in oral sex.
It's just a different kind of stimulation. So Nicole, you can have lots of orgasms.
Yeah.
In any position.
Yeah, it's really.
And they start up right away.
And where do you live, Nicole?
Oregon.
And they start. No, he means what's your address?
No,
I'm sorry.
I'm just kidding.
And you're going on the east side, blue.
Nicole, and they start up right away, right?
Yeah, it's like as soon as we get into stuff, it happens. Like I can have an orgasm right away, and then still like go into the whole actually having intercourse. Usually, I've never actually had an orgasm with just straight intercourse. There's always had to be like him stimulating me also.
Right.
But. Never have I ever, ever enjoyed receiving oral sex. Don't mind doing it. Like doing it. Don't like getting it.
Well, that makes sense.
That's part of Oregon. Yeah.
How many orgasms before you tire out?
I think by myself, the most I've ever done was four.
Four. So it's not. There's some women that will go like for dozens and dozens and dozens.
I know, but I kind of wonder. Every time they shudder a little bit, they think it's enough.
No. These this Nicole
this
brand.
This is eye popping in the back of the head, toe pointing.
The head, you know what? The petechia, you know, the little red blood vessels in the chest. They, you know, they you get flushed.
Yes.
When their cheeks get really flushed and the chest gets flushed, you know they're not acting.
Yeah. No. These are the real deal. And if I really had like all day to just hang out and do whatever I wanted, I'm sure I could do more. But yeah, about four is the most I ever do.
The queen tires.
Honey, yeah, but you don't have to come 1,000 times.
Oh, no.
But it's be fair, I mean, if you could.
Yeah. Well, why not?
Esai, what's
good, then go for it.
Wait, Esai, what's your record in a day?
In a day, oh, about a dozen.
A dozen?
Ooh, that's, he takes all the supplements up today.
Well, that's right.
No, but I mean, I used to, you know, take care of myself and then other people.
The neighbors.
You know, sometimes you got this all sex day. You know what I mean? It's all, you know, it's.
Cool. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
So. Well, I can understand maybe Nicole a dozen. I don't, Drew, how many have you had in a day? Your record?
Not a dozen. We're here.
No, but what it is you don't produce fluid
right
after the first 3%.
It starts hurting after like 19
for me,
though.
It does.
Yeah, seriously. Give me the 5 on that.
No, but you get the rush. You know, like when you were a kid before you ejaculated, you get with the frog water. What do they call it? Drunk water.
Boy.
Nicole.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're a lovely lady.
Thank you.
You can orgasm so much.
Thank you so much.
And you're going to make, say goodbye.
You're going to make whatever boyfriends you go out with very happy and proud.
Yes.
Go for it.
Definitely. But don't you think if you could have an orgasm 3 minutes from someone touching you, do you need the intercourse?
Oops. Well, I think the intercourse is the journey.
But you also got to be
realized. That's the conquering and everything.
Women experience intercourse differently. Estrogen causes a sense of gratification from receptivity. That there's literally a hormone of receptiveness that taking something in and engaging, fusing with somebody has a sexual gratification to it.
So they don't always have to come.
Right.
Or we have a goal when we're involved.
I remember that because I used to get all like uptight.
If they didn't have orgasm.
Yeah, because it's your whole macho.
Well, because not just macho, the man, you're like, what do you mean it's okay? How could it be? How could it be okay?
Yeah, what do you mean? Didn't even come once?
and you're fine? And you're fine? How could that be fine?
Yeah, come on.
You're lying.
Yeah, right.
All right, we have to take a break before my fluids leave the building, and we'll be back after this. More Love Line. Hold on. About to wrap things up with Stryker for Adam McCrow along with Dr. Drew Esai Morales. You may know him for his best work ever in 1984's Miami Vice. He played Felipe Cruz. That was great work. And in the same season, you also played Pete Romano.
Yes.
Yeah, that was good.
Felipe Cruz, I played a gay son of a mafia don.
Really? Oh, now, NYPD Blue, Tony.
Born gay.
Interesting.
Who are you on NYPD Blue? You're a lieutenant or something?
Tony Rodriguez. Very straight talk. Very straight cop.
You put people in cuffs and throw them in the slammer?
Slap them down.
All right, let's tell Mark Paul Stryker likes him as an actor.
So hard for me.
Yeah.
And from Drew.
I haven't seen him since he was about 17.
Hey, you know what? I should get him to come do the show.
Yeah, that'd be great. We'll see him again for a while.
It's really cool.
Don't worry, I won't be here then.
Oh,
I don't know what that means.
Stryker.
All right, so that's it. So watch for my homeboy here, Esai, on all sorts of television.
And let's watch for your show, too. Yeah.
All right, we can do that if we want.
Yeah.
And he listens on the radio, and we can do whatever we want to do. So that's it, right?
Good times.
All right, Esai. Drew, seriously, thank you very much.
Stryker,
I appreciate
good to have
it.
You.
All right, so for Dr. Drew and Esai, I'm Stryker, saying skinny as a pickle, possibly, on Loveline. Goodbye.
And then I'll just, like, keep pizza, and that's all I eat.
Don't you have a mom?
This has been Love Life. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Love Life is Ann Wilkins-Engel. Love Life is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.